New heading, 4. Proclaiming God's glory to others. This way of giving glory to God with our speech overlaps with Paul's exhortations to build one another up in love. What better way to build up a brother or sister in Messiah than to speak with him or her directly about the goodness and glory of our King? What better way to love a non-Yeshua follower than to speak with the person about the one whose salvation extends to all the nations of the earth? Though speaking of God's glory is upbuilding to others, this is not the only reason for doing it. Speaking of God's glory is also an important way of honoring him. As one can honor a human being either by praising him directly or by praising him to a third party, so our speaking to others of God's glory honors him as much as the worship we offer him directly does. This is why the Psalms summon us to declare God's glory to the nations. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. Psalm 96, verses 2 to 3. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Psalm 105, 1 to 2. To speak of God's glory is to give his name the honor it is due. Read Psalm 145, one of the classic passages declaring God's greatness and goodness. No matter how brilliant our eloquence or lengthy our treatment, our speech could never hope to exhaust a fraction of his glory or give him the honor that he fully deserves. But we still should do what we are able to do, though our praises be incommensurate to the worth of their object. Scripture especially urges us to proclaim God's salvation, the acts of deliverance he has accomplished on our behalf. Psalm 71, verse 15 tells us that we should declare God's salvation all the day. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. In the New Testament, 1 Peter 2, verse 9 shows us that such a declaration is integral to our mission as the people of God. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is true in a general sense. We should speak to one another about the overwhelming grace of God revealed in the election of Israel, the incarnation of Messiah Yeshua and his self-offering upon the cross, and all the boundless favors of God manifested to us in Scripture. However, it is also true in a more particular sense. We should speak to one another of the specific ways in which God has acted in our lives to deliver us from bondage and lead us into his kingdom. Such specific testimonies to God's salvation are found in several places in the Psalms. I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him for help, he heard. Psalm 22, verses 22 to 24. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. Psalm 40, verses 9 to 10. After healing a demoniac, Yeshua commissioned the man to go home and glorify God by telling how he was healed. Yeshua called him to follow the model established in Psalm 22 and 40. The man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Yeshua had done for him. Luke 8, verses 38 and 39. These words of Yeshua also apply to us. He has healed us by his power and delivered us from bondage to evil forces. It is therefore only fitting that we share with others the good news of what God has done in our lives. It is possible to speak to others about the glory of God and fail in the attempt. Sometimes we merely repeat vague, hackneyed, pious clichés that fail to express what we have actually experienced. Sometimes we speak in a way that draws attention to ourselves rather than to God. Sometimes we talk to non-Yeshua followers about God in such thick religious jargon that they cannot understand what we are saying and have no desire to find out. These pitfalls should not intimidate and discourage us, but should instead make us eager to couple wisdom with zeal in our efforts to proclaim the glory of God. New heading, 5, Confessing Yeshua. A final important way to glorify God with our speech is urged upon us by the New Testament with special solemnity. The confession of faith in Messiah Yeshua in the face of opposition and testing. The ultimate confession is martyrdom, which in Greek simply means testimony or witness. In the early Yeshua-following community, those who suffered for their faithful testimony were not killed, but were called confessors and given special honor. This type of speech, unlike those previously mentioned, is not a daily occurrence. Nonetheless, the way we handle ourselves daily determines whether we pass the test on the day it comes. In the middle of his teaching on discipleship and persecution in the 10th chapter of Matthew, Yeshua spoke these sobering words about confessing him in the face of opposition. "Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. If we acknowledge loyally before men that Yeshua is our Master and Lord, heedless of the consequences, undaunted by the cost, Yeshua will acknowledge before all the company of heaven that we are his faithful disciples and servants. This passage is often used to emphasize the importance of evangelism, but that is not its primary purpose. Its primary purpose is to deal with the pressure on the disciple to deny, overtly or covertly, his relationship with his master. The question raised here is one of loyalty. Will you faithfully and loyally confess your relationship with me, even when the consequences are likely to be painful? Peter found himself in such a situation on the eve of the crucifixion, and he failed the test. Yeshua gave him many opportunities later on to take the test again, and Peter passed with flying colors, as recorded in the book of Acts. Another example of a man who passed the test with flying colors is Polycarp, a 2nd century bishop from the city of Smyrna in Asia Minor. An old man, Polycarp was hustled before the proconsul in the arena and pressed to deny Yeshua. The governor, however, still went on pressing him. "Take the oath, and I will let you go," he told him. "Revile your Messiah." Polycarp's reply was, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king and my savior?" Polycarp gives us a sterling model of a man whose loyalty to Yeshua was expressed by the words he spoke in the time of testing. He died as he had lived, in fidelity to the one who had first died for him. Few of us will probably ever face such a dramatic test. However, we all have smaller tests, situations in which our acknowledging Yeshua costs us something in loss of acceptance, respect, or position. These become our arenas, our opportunities to show our colors. If we are living fully for the glory of God, our lips will confess Yeshua on that day, heedless of the cost, glorifying God with bridled tongues consecrated to the worship and service of his name.